Srimad-Bhagavad Gita, Chapter 7, Knowledge of the Absolute, Text Number 15. Namam diskritina muda prapadyante naradama maya pritigyana asuram bhavamashritya na nat mam unto me duskritina miscreants muda foolish prapadyante surrender nara adama lowest among mankind maya by the illusory energy aparita stolen jnana whose knowledge asuram demoniac bhavam nature ashritya accepting. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. This is probably the longest purport in the Bhagavad Gita. Those miscreants who are grossly foolish or lowest among mankind, whose knowledge is stolen by illusion and partake of the atheistic nature of demons, do not surrender unto me. Purport. It is said in the Bhagavad Gita that simply by surrendering oneself unto the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one can surmount the stringent laws of material nature. At this point, a question arises. How is it that educated philosophers, scientists, businessmen, administrators, and all the leaders of ordinary men do not surrender to the lotus feet of Sri Krishna, the all-powerful personality of Godhead? Mukti or liberation from the laws of material nature is sought by the leaders of mankind in different ways and with great plans and perseverance for many great years and births, many years and births. But if that liberation is possible by simply surrendering unto the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then why don't these intelligent, hard-working leaders adopt this simple method? You have to be a little quieter. The Gita answers this question very frankly. Those really learned leaders of society like Brahma, Shiva, Kapila, the Kumaras, Manu, Vyas, Devala, Asita, Janaka, Prahlad, Bali, and later on Madhvacharya, Ramanujacharya, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and others who are faithful philosophers, politicians, educators, scientists, etc., surrendered to the lotus feet of the Supreme Person, the all-powerful authority. Those who are not actually philosophers, scientists, educators, administrators, etc., but who pose themselves as such for material gain, do not accept the plan or path of the Supreme Lord. They have no idea of God, they simply manufacture their own worldly plans, and consequently complicate the problems of material existence in their vain attempts to solve them. Because material energy, nature, is so powerful, it can resist the unauthorized plans of the atheists and baffle the knowledge of planning commissions. The atheistic plan makers is described herein by the words diskritina, or miscreants. Kriti means one who has performed meritorious work. The atheistic plan maker is sometimes very intelligent and meritorious also, because any gigantic plan, good or bad, must take intelligence to execute. Because the atheistic brain is improperly utilized and opposing the plan of the Supreme Lord, the atheistic plan maker is called diskriti, which indicates that his intelligence and efforts are misdirected. In the Gita, it is clearly mentioned that material energy works fully under the direction of the Supreme Lord. It has no independent authority. It works as the shadow moves, in accordance with the movement of the object. But still material energy is very powerful, and the atheist, due to his godless temperament, cannot know how it works, nor can he know the plan of the Supreme Lord. Under illusion and the modes of passion and ignorance, all his plans are baffled, as in the case of Hiranyakashipu and Ravana, whose plans were smashed to dust, although they are both materially learned as scientists, philosophers, administrators, and educators. These discretinas or miscreants are four different patterns, as outlined below. One, the mudras are those who are grossly foolish, like hard-working beasts of burden. They want to enjoy the fruits of their labor by themselves, and so do not want to part with them for the Supreme. A typical example of the beast of burden is the ass. This humble beast is made to work very hard by his master. The ass does not really know for whom he works so hard day and night. He remains satisfied by filling his stomach with a blade of grass, bundle of grass, sleeping for a while under the fear of being beaten by his master, and satisfying his sex appetite at the risk of being repeatedly kicked by the opposite party. The ass sings poetry and philosophy sometimes, but his braying sound only disturbs others. This is the position of the foolish fruitive worker who does not know for whom he should work. He does not know that karma action is meant for yajna, sacrifice. Most often, those who work very hard day and night to clear the burden of self-created duties say that they have no time to hear of the immortality of the living being. So such mudas, material gains which are destructible, are life's all in all, despite the fact that the mudas enjoy only a very small fraction of the fruit of labor. Sometimes they spend sleepless nights, days and nights for fruit of gain, and although they may have ulcers or indigestion, they are satisfied with practically no food. They are simply absorbed in working hard day and night for the benefit of illusory masters. Ignorant of their real master, the foolish workers waste their valuable time serving mammon. Unfortunately, they never surrender to the Supreme Master of all masters, nor do they take the time to hear of him from the proper sources. The swine who eat the night soil do not care to accept sweetmeats made of sugar and ghee. Similarly, the foolish worker will entirely continue to hear of the sense-enjoyable tidings of the flickering mundane world. They have very little time to hear about the eternal living force that moves the material world. Otherwise, it'll take up the rest of the class. We need all those lights on, especially this light which shines right in my eyes. So in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that there are four kinds of pious people, namely the afflicted, the artha-artis, the artas, those who desire material wealth, the jignasus, those who are inquisitive, and those who are jnanis, who are searching for knowledge of the Absolute Truth, or in knowledge of the Absolute Truth. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura said that this corresponds to the four divisions in the Varnashram system of the Shudras, Vaishyas, Kshatriyas, and the Brahmanas. So outside of these four divisions, we have the mudas, well, not exactly outside. In other words, if one does not become a shudra, but is in the mode of ignorance, then he's a muda, as explained here. That everyone has or conditioned by the three modes of material nature, and depending upon whether we're trying to advance ourselves or whether we're not, whether we're engaged in devotional activities or activities to elevate our consciousness, or we're engaged in simply gross and subtle sense gratification, everyone, the human beings, are one of these categories. Those who aren't shudras, shudra means always crying. So if we're always crying, lamenting, thinking life is bad and it's getting worse, that's called shudra. If one is trying to become a devotee, one is a Shudra. Otherwise, the Mudhas are those who are not, who are in the mode of ignorance but are not devotionally inclined. Eating, sleeping, mating, defending is the old, is their master. And those who are inspiring them to eat more, sleep more, have more sex, and defend themselves more, who are encouraging them to make more money so they can enjoy their senses more, they're called Naradamas. Instead of assisting the Mudhas to come to the platform of becoming at least Shudras, they encourage them to become animals in their next lifetime. So, when a Mudha becomes a Shudra by good association and starts serving the higher classes of people, because nowadays people don't believe there are any such thing as a higher class. They think everyone's the same class. They become insulted, or they, in America, they riot. Even if they have the idea that someone might be better than them, they become very envious and become angry, because that's the symptom of being in the mode of ignorance. They don't understand the equality of the soul. They simply look for equality in the external energy, which is impossible. There is equality amongst the lowest possible denominator. If you become a co-virus virus, then all your fellow viruses are all more or less on the same level. But that kind of equality is not what we're really looking for. A real equality is on the spiritual platform. Everyone has an equal opportunity to become a wake up. That's all we have to do, is wake up to who we are. And then these designations in the material world don't have the same significance they have when there is no spiritual objective. If all there is material objectives, then eating, sleeping, mating, defending are all that people know, and there's a competition for those things. Although we know that those who are in the mode of goodness enjoy more than those in the ignorance and passion, but those who are in ignorance and passion don't understand that, and therefore they're called mudhas. They're working hard, trying to fulfill, as Prabhupada writes here, self-created duties. We create a whole bunch of duties for ourselves, and then we work hard to fulfill them, like in modern society. They think that they need all this electricity. They need all these cars, they need all these computers, they need so many things. And therefore they're working hard to get them. But they've done a survey and they found out that the amount of energy it takes to, say, fly from here to Moscow by an airplane, the amount of energy and expense, that if you walk there, it would be about equal. In other words, you wouldn't have to work so hard, you wouldn't be expending so much energy in digging into the earth to get the oil, building the airplane, whatever else. If you eliminate all that, it'd take you about the same time to walk to Moscow as all the energy you have to expend in order to fly to Moscow. So they're thinking they're making progress, but actually they're going nowhere. They're expending the same amount of energy with all this complication as they would if they didn't complicate their lives. But instead of having a clear mind, they're absorbed in complicating their lives, thinking that they're making progress. But actually they're getting nowhere, except for complicating their lives. Now people believe that previously people were living a very primitive life. They ate things like pure organic food, which had taste. How barbaric. They breathed fresh air. They must have choked up on the fresh air. They drank pure water. They didn't need a filter. My God, they didn't need a filter. How primitive. they actually did work with their arms and legs, so they didn't have to go to the gym and do exercise. And people actually lived longer if they would follow basic principles of cleanliness and regulation. But because so there are something called dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. So those who are kshatriyas, they're in charge of dharma. They guard religious principles. In other words, religious principles are basically living in harmony with the modes of material, with nature, which means the modes of nature. Serving the higher, and living in harmony with the modes of nature means serving the instructions coming from the Vedas through the Brahmins. That's called dharma. Assimilating the philosophy so we know how to apply it in such a way that human society can be regulated in such a way as to everyone cooperate to perform yajna. Now the Brahmins, they knew how to perform yajna, they had the intelligence, but in order to acquire that intelligence, they were not very active, and therefore dharma was meant for those who were going to do something in this world in order to engage or occupy everyone in sacrifice. So they engaged the Vaishyas in providing the means for sacrifice. And the Vaishyas sacrifices based upon getting ghee and other necessities for the sacrifice. That was the primary necessity. Some food grains to maintain the body, and then ghee and other valuables for the sacrifice, for Vishnu. And then the Shudras, they'd assist the Vaishyas and others and making all these arrangements by having the strength, the physical strength, to make the arrangements. And the Brahmins would give directions and learn how to chant the mantras, because it was the mantras that actually created the results of the sacrifice. If one could perfectly chant the mantras, then by that vibration, the demigods would reciprocate, Krishna would provide all the necessities through the demigods. Actually, everything depends upon prayer. Everyone is praying all the time. At every moment we're praying. People don't know that they're praying. They think prayer is something special. But our very desires are prayers. And Krishna senses our desire, just like one can understand the flavor of a flower by smelling it. So Krishna senses our desires. He knows what we deserve according to our past deeds, and then he arranges the material nature accordingly. So if one can chant mantras internally and externally, because to chant them perfectly requires discipline, then Krishna would fulfill those desires through the demigods, because that's how the material nature works. Of course, and because the desires were ultimately directed towards satisfying Vishnu, certainly Krishna fulfilled them, Yajnavai Vishnu. And everyone else had faith in the Brahmins that this was the purpose of life, is to satisfy Vishnu. If whatever you wanted in the material world, it all depended upon Vishnu. Now people believe that they're actually going to get something without satisfying Vishnu. So they're living in a world of imagination. Indeed, they're getting things, they're getting, by their, they're creating desires to go to hell. But people don't understand that because of all the false propaganda, they're being covered by ignorance. Instead of educating people when they're younger, people are simply brainwashed to becoming absorbed in the bodily concept of life, with no other, with the understanding that the whole aim of life is just to get pieces of paper called money and then try to buy something with it to gratify your senses. And there's no such thing as liberation. Liberation means the weekend. when the weekend comes, you're liberated. Or 2 weeks, you get liberated for 2 weeks. When you go on vacation, then you fall back into work again. You fall from Brahman back to work. So people don't know what Dharma is. They don't know what liberation is. They don't even know what sense gratification or economic development is. So therefore, they're called muddhas. But if a muddha becomes pious, gets good association, then they become a shudra. And if they assist the higher castes, then they come back in the next lifetime and get the opportunity to become a vaishya. But if they get bad association, then instead of becoming a vaishya, as it says, prapya punya kritam lokam ushisva shasviti samak, suchi namashimatam gehe yoga prashta vijayate, taiva bhavana amasi. That they take birth in pious families, like a vaishya family. But if they misuse it by bad association, then they become a Naradama. That's why the whole world is full of Naradamas. They did pious activities, therefore they took birth in a so-called civilized country. But because they utilized that opportunity for sense gratification, instead of actually protecting the cows, modern economics is based on cow slaughter, animal slaughter. Instead of giving people good opportunities for a peaceful life, they're creating all the complications. Beginning with this mass agriculture based on genetically modified seeds, all these insecticides, pesticides, peoplecides, so many sides, so many killers, all in the name of progress. So that's called Naradama. But if someone is pious and they become a vaishya, just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu claimed he was a vaishya, as we know, in his past life, when he was going around Navadvip asking for donations from the shopkeepers because he was a Brahmin. Therefore, the shopkeepers gave him all kinds of donations. He finally came to one Brahmin who was a noted astrologer, and he asked the Brahmin who I was in my last lifetime. So the Brahmin, because he was an expert astrologer, he didn't have to draw an astrological chart. He simply sat in meditation, and he saw in his meditation the form of a boar lifting the universe. So he was a little confused. This Brahmin seems a little pious. I didn't think he was a boar in his last lifetime. Then he saw a half man, half lion, and he became even more confused. Then he saw this man with an axe going around killing everyone. So he was getting more and more confused. And he said, actually, I can't figure out who you are. I'm sorry. You know, it's been a bad day, and it's getting worse. Maybe you can come back tomorrow. I might be able to meditate a little bit more. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, try again. Maybe you can figure it out. And then he saw this little dwarf man in this big sacrifice, and he expanding himself into this huge personality. Then he saw so many different things. The man sitting in meditation, man with his playing on a flute. So he said, now I know who you are. You're the Supreme Personality of God. You're the Supreme Personality of Godhead in your last lifetime. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, no, you're wrong. He said, I know who I was in my last lifetime. My last lifetime, I was a coward boy, and I was herding cows. And because of my pious activity of herding cows, in this lifetime, I become a Brahmin. So if one is pious, is a vaishya, gives in charity and dhammas, trijagnas, because there's a correlation between the varna and the ashrams. So vaishyas are generally householders, and their duty is to perform sacrifice, give in charity, and control their senses. So then one becomes qualified to become a kshatriya in their next lifetime, generally speaking. Just like Krishna was born as a kshatriya. Well, he was kind of in between a kshatriya and a vaishya. When he was in Vrindavan, he was a vaishya, but when he got a little older, he became a kshatriya. So, kshatriya means inquisitiveness. It doesn't mean going around with a sword and cutting off everyone's head. That's not what kshatriya means. It means one who protects. Kshat means to, triya, to deliver. Kshat means hurt. And triya means to deliver from hurt. So the kshatriyas, they were expert at delivering from hurt because they knew from the Brahmins what the problems were and how to solve them. They knew that the only way of solving the problems ultimately is by sacrifice to Vishnu. In order to protect the sacrifice for Vishnu, sometimes they would have to defeat their enemies. But they knew ultimately the real enemies are lust, anger, and greed. So they made sure that lust, anger, and greed were eliminated from the, or at least regulated in their society. And they learned that from the Brahmins, how to do that. So if one is a kshatriya and he becomes interested, he becomes puffed up and deviant from serving the actual Brahmins, then he becomes a Maya Pritigyana. He learns from all the wrong people. And instead of protecting people, he invents things like atomic weapons to kill everyone. Instead, the government, instead of actually providing protection for people, it actually creates all kinds of miseries for the people in the form of mandatory vaccines or pandemics or whatever else they don't know how to handle properly, or weapons and wars and all kinds of things. A whole fiat money is an example of the rulers exploiting people in through the economy, so-called economy. But if one is actually a real kshatriya and tries to protect people, then in his next lifetime he becomes a Brahmin. But if he gets bad association, like for instance, we have the son of Krishna, Bhamasura, who is Krishna's son by the earth. When Krishna lifted in the form of Varaha the earth, he impregnated the earth, Bhumandala, the whole disc. And the earth gave birth to Bhamasura. So Bhamasura was actually Krishna's son, but by bad association with Narakasura, he was actually called Narakasura. Also, by bad association, he became a demon. Actually, he also deviated Dvivida, who was actually a great devotee of Lord Ramachandra in the spiritual world, Manda and Dvivida, and they became demons too. So by bad association, the Brahmana, who should be giving Vedic knowledge, misuses the Vedic knowledge and turns out to be an Asuram Bhavam Ashitya, a demon, whose goal is not to become Krishna conscious, but to become God. By a little acquisition of knowledge, he now declares himself God. And sometimes they even become big demons with all kinds of power, like Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu's father was actually a great Brahmin, but by bad association, he became a demon. But if the Brahmin stays a Brahmin, then by good association, he later on becomes a Vaishnava and utilizes his knowledge to worship Vishnu. So either we go up, or even we can go very high up, like even become a real Brahmin, but then we, by bad association, by misuse of our free will, we can become a very relatively powerful person in the material world, but misuse it and fall back down to the lowest status of life again. So that's the nature of the material world. Maya is always trying to allure the practitioner by various allurements. Anyone who takes up devotional service, Maya will try to allure the practitioner and attract them in any status of life until one actually takes up pure devotional service and comes even beyond Nishtha to the platform of Bhava Bhakti. There's always a slight possibility of falling down, even on the highest level. Maya will still try and trick one into trying to become, on high levels, the Supreme, being worshipped. And on the low levels, simply women and wealth are usually the allurements on the lower levels. Wealth, Haranya, and Kashipu, soft bed. So on the lower levels, it doesn't take much for Maya to trick one. And on the higher levels, Maya has to work a little harder, but she's been quite good at it since time immemorial. A little bit of false prestige in Maya's camp goes a long way. Oh, you're so great, Prabhu. We worship you. Yes, yes, you're right. I'm worshipful. And, you're a rascal. I knew you were a demon all the time. Puffed up rascal. You deserve it. So I'll stop there. Any questions?
Hare Krishna. It sounds from this verse as if we mostly are in one category. Can't one be in more than one category? Both an idiot and the lowest of men, and working hard and a demon?
Well, that's called modern society. I mean, generally speaking, in a civilized society, there are Vaishyas, there are Shudras. Of course, there are varieties amongst the Vaishyas, as we know in the Bhagavatam. There's not only one kind of Vaishya or one kind of Brahmin or one kind. There are varieties of them. They have different duties. And then the mixtures, they're also considered to be certain castes. Like there's chariot drivers who I believe are mixtures of the Kshatriyas and Brahmins. So there are mixtures, but they have definite duties. But nowadays, it's all mixed up. No one knows how to do anything. Therefore, Varnashram is, in that sense, is not very practical, the actual Varnashram system, because no one can fulfill any of the duties. So as far as what we are, by chanting Hare Krishna, we can be raised to the higher levels of other modes of nature. Otherwise, we're generally quite well situated in the mode of ignorance, and you're still trying to squeeze out a little passion from us. Other than that, it's pretty hard to figure out what of the darkest regions of ignorance we fit into. But there's still a little bit of passion going on. Anything else? Thank you very much, Gandharaj. Bhagavad Gita, Ki Jai.